Welcome to another episode of CX EMEA Unplugged. My name is Chaim Pinto, and I'm the Chief Technology Officer of CX EMEA. Today, we're going to be talking about security, specifically about cybersecurity, and within that exciting domain, we're going to focus on phishing. Towards the end of the episode, we're also going to provide some tips and tricks on how to defend ourselves from phishing attacks, so stay tuned. But in order to dive deeper into the topic, I invited a good friend of mine who is also a colleague to join me and help us get a sneak peek into the exciting world of cybersecurity. Hi, Shimri.
Hi, Chaim.
So let's start with a full name, job description, and why are you such an expert on security?
All right. So Chaim, nice to meet you and see you again. I see we're doing a lot of podcasts. This is really fun. My name is Shimri Vakter. I'm in Cisco approximately 2 years, in the industry 18 years, dealing with cybersecurity. I'm a CISSP, CISO, dealing a lot with cyber issues for enterprise companies and governments. So I'll be glad to help and make this subject interesting as possible.
Of course. So a lot of years of experience, hands-on, consultative, a lot of certifications, obviously. So you are the perfect person to start asking, you know, what is phishing and why it has nothing to do with actual fish?
So phishing is something that has no relevance to real fish. Let's start with the definition of UK National Cybersecurity Center, NCSC. Phishing is when attackers attempt to trick users into doing the wrong thing, such as clicking a bad link that will download malware or direct them to a dodgy website. Now let's take it into simple words. That means that attackers will try to get to you via social engineering, probably, that there are some kinds of social engineering, and send you a link or a voicemail or could be SMS with a bad link that will direct you into their site, mini site or duplicate site, or things that will allow them later to control your data and your laptop or servers or company.
So in other words, phishing is a more sophisticated way to try and trick us to do some naive things that will result in nefarious actions against us.
Exactly. And more than that, usually it will be done via sending thousands or hundreds of thousands messages in real time and try to take the 10, 15, 20,000 users that does not know what is it and will press the link. And you'll be surprised how many, even cyber professionals, press the link sometimes out of, let's say, complexity of too busy to think and things like that. And we press the link sometimes. And that leads to bad things, of course.
So that actually equates into phishing with a phishing net. The attackers are sending it. It's not specifically targeted to us. They might be sending it to tens of thousands of people, but it will have some personalization. Hence the phishing attribute to it. Attackers actually try to customize their attack pattern and focus on us to disclose more than what we need to, as probably a more complicated or complex way to build a cyber attack strategy. So let's start with really, really the basics. How easy it is to find personal information about us on the web, and really, does privacy really exist today anymore?
So that now we get into the interesting subject where any person will understand what we're saying here. First of all, no privacy as we know it, no privacy as we knew it before. All our data, or at least most of our data, is in the internet somewhere. Could be LinkedIn, could be for professionals, could be Facebook, could be Instagram, TikTok, you name it. A lot of them. Videos are there. The videos on the background shows a lot of information. They show our friends, they show our network. So social engineering, which is the key way to get information, will be quite easy for the attackers.
So let's try to explain what social engineering is. We just threw that term out there. Social engineering is a form that we actually try to disclose or actually gather as much personal information as we can to make the message that malicious message that we're sending our target very personalized. So we might understand, you know, the neighborhood that they're living in. Maybe we'll know names of some of their friends or maybe their parents and try to mask our message as an email associated to those related to that person.
Exactly. And more than that, today there are softwares that can help you with digesting this amount of information and get some insights out of it. And there is even more sophisticated way of doing that if you're talking about companies, which is called whaling, which is targeting the CX level, directors level, board member levels, let's say the influencers or the I would say administrators that has the most efficient and great data to mine over there.
I like the frame whaling. So we're looking for the bigger fish in the pond to try to disguise ourselves as either those. Obviously, you're going to open up an email from your boss or target those who are more influential and might approve a money transaction or access to a certain sensitive system. So we're still in the pond of fish and whales. Let's try to assume that we used social media and all of that privacy that doesn't exist on the network, and we collected enough personal information and we want to target a specific person. What would be the way that a malicious player will launch an attack or a designated attack on a person?
So probably the best way would be following this information gathering and building the attack. First of all, building a link that would look like quite similar to the real link. For example, if you're trying to send a link off Carrefour or any large company,
Your shipping company, you know, your post office provider.
Any company that you might think of, you will look at their website, you will look at the way they're sending links. Probably you send something very similar with a small, minor change that no one would read while getting this link. And then while opening this link, the link would move you into a site that is not the real site. And over there, the attacker, and we'll talk about it at our next episode, the attacker will have a very easy possibility to take control over your data, your laptop, your servers, etc. And later on, even get into ransomware and worst attacks that are possible over there.
Yeah, of course. So they're using a technology called scraping. They might be scraping your original website so they can actually host that front end on their own servers. But if you look deeper into the URL or if you're looking deeper into the website, you'll see sudden changes or discrepancies. But they're going to try to trick you into putting in your personal information. So for example, one of the attack patterns that we saw on the end user side is user trying to steal credentials from Instagram users. So we all know that little blue sign that you get next to your Instagram name that means that you are a certified celebrity. And a lot of the guys in my kids' classroom actually got an email supposedly from Instagram saying you were approved for a blue star, log in over here in order to verify that. Now, a high school student with probably less than a couple of hundred followers is not likely to get a blue star on Instagram. But once they punched in their credentials, username and password, their Instagram account was hijacked immediately. So that's just an example on how those things can actually happen. So we won't fall into that. Let's try to give some tips and tricks to our users on how to protect themselves from a phishing attack. What would you say to a person that sits at home right now and listening to us that really doesn't want to fall victim to a phishing attack? What would be the first tip that you'll give that person?
So as we're saying constantly in Cisco, there's the proactive approach and there's the reactive approach. So first, be proactive. Do not expose unnecessary data or details on the websites, on the network, on any social network you're in. Do not write that you're going on vacation next week with your family and you're living in this and that. Do not write that currently your daughter got S20 Samsung because it will be easier to hack. Don't go there. Don't go to any information that is not necessary. Do not publish photos that are not necessary to be there with your exact locations, etc., etc. There's a lot of information you can save and not put on the web and make it harder for the attackers, especially if you know you're a high-level target, which means you are a whale or a CFO or a CEO or someone that might be looked for in the internet.
So it can be if you are a teacher in high school, if you're a principal, if you are a public role holder or anything like that. We can correlate information out of just publicly available information. So we talked about social media, obviously, right? We can see information on Facebook. We can see information in LinkedIn. We can correlate the information in order to build a broader picture. But then we can connect that and supplement that with other members of our family. So if we know who your sons and daughters are, we can try to log into their pages and get some more information about that. Specifically, if you are a whale, yep, that would be an easier way for us to gather information and start crafting a dedicated attack. So let's say that we didn't know that and we shared a lot of personal information about us and some malicious player got a hold of that information. What should you do if you identify that someone is trying to phish you or trying to phish some more personal information about you?
So I'll give one more tip for preparedness for the proactive approach, and then we'll go to the reactive. One more tip to the proactive guys, everybody out there, talk to your kids, talk to your family, talk to your elderly, explain them not to push any link, not in web games, not in messages they get, not even if it writes that their box is about to arrive and please press this link and put on the password inside for the box to arrive or something like that. Nothing. Now let's go to the reactive. If you already think you got a link, please do not open any link. But if you open the link, then first of all, try and go into any software that will be installed on your laptop to recognize that, which means be ready for that. You need an email security, and today any email security could include also a portion of endpoint detection and response software, which means it also can recognize patterns that are not usual.
So that's a very important message that you just shared with us. Protecting ourselves has more to do with protecting our environment as well. So education is key. And I always believe that you're never too young to learn. So actually talking to our kids and our partners and our friends even about some cybersecurity measures is always beneficial. But also each and every one of us has a little home network in our home, right?
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
The Wi-Fi network and we're getting that from a service provider, and there are measures that we can actually ask our service providers to take in order to protect our connection and obviously also protect our home gear and our home networks, because it's just a piggyback ride, hacking into one of the home devices and then onto the whales, I like that frame, to the whales corporate laptop that is currently connected from home as people work from home. So, Shimri, let's assume that we missed all of those great tips that you shared with us and we did fell victim to a phishing attack. And we just recognized that immediately after we shared our credentials and hit the apply button. We go like, oh my God, this is not the right website. I just disclosed all my private information. What is our best course of action as we identify that?
So first of all, do not be in the network anymore. Take out the network connection.
Disconnect,
and try to figure out if there's something, let's say, not usual in your behavior on your system, files that are being deleted, something that is not on the usual way. Second of all, do a scan. Scan all your laptop with the softwares that you already have because we told you to buy it. So scan your laptop, check what's wrong in there. And also this software contains a part that could detect and respond, which means following the reaction and the detection, it could also recover from the attack delete the unnecessary files before it spreads, and then you can continue and use your computer. You might lose some data, but not all of it, at least.
So I'll add one more thing. Depending on what type of information you disclosed, reach out to your service provider. So if that is the bank, or if that would be Facebook or Instagram or your TikTok account or your postal service account or whatnot, and try to reach their support line and share with them that you think that you fell a victim to a phishing attack. Obviously lock up your account and use multi-factor authentication to come back and get and reset your password. So obviously try to minimize the risk as it's happening. And don't take this casually, because once those credentials are seized, the attack executes almost immediately. So expect to see some nefarious activities happening on the account that you just compromised. Lastly, Shimri, we're running out of time. So we talked about the home user, we talked about the personal user, we talked about the consumer. I do want to have at least one tip for IT professionals, those that service us as we go to work and know a little bit more about cybersecurity and obviously technology. What would be your golden tip for those cybersecurity specialists and IT professionals?
Okay, so as we discussed, once again, I'll state it that we need to be proactive and not only reactive. This is the way Cisco thinks, this is the way our cyber approach is. And first of all, if you want to be proactive, please use your emails as way as you use your most private data in the organization, which means defend it with email security, defend it with EDR, endpoint detection and response, defend it with any tool that you might think that could help you to prevent, and give your users awareness possibility, which means educate your users, test your users. There are softwares that you can test your users with them. And more than that, mark any outside email that arrives into the organization with different color, any unique message that is an outside message, that they will be aware more than that, more than the usual. And use the Windows Outlook add-on button of phishing that any user can press it, and automatically the email will move into quarantine and be checked by a sandbox before it's being opened.
So make sure that you have your preventive tools accessible. You better be safe than sorry. So it's okay to click a good link and mark it as phishing as opposed to unmarking a phishing link. It's okay to make mistakes like that. The other way around is less desirable. And I would add one more thing, Shimri. I would say that make sure that you have an incident response strategy in place, right?
Agree. One important thing, as we said, in preparedness, you need, as an individual, it's quite hard to do that. But as a company, you can buy an incident response retainer, be proactive, prepare your, response plans. You will be ready with a plan in the drawer. You will know what to do, how to do, who should do what. And then the reaction will be much more faster and unique, and will be able to recover very fast.
It's almost like a very good insurance policy. You are more than willing to spend that money with the hope that you will never need to use it.
I agree.
Shimri, we ran out of time. That was fascinating. I appreciate you taking the time to join us. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chaim. See you in the next episode.